So David and his men, they go back to Ziklag. They told him, go back where he come from. So he goes back to Ziklag. That's where he was. And he was confronted with some awful, distressing news. The hand of the Lord lay heavy on him. And you know, he had been down there with the enemy for 14 months with godless people. And you know, and without chastisement, you bastards are not sons. And God, no doubt, chastised David very heavy for what he done. But it came to pass here, you know, that he went down to Ziklag. Look what it says in verse, I'm going to read the first five verses, and then from there I'm just going to go through the verses. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons, their daughters, were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Abinadab the Jezreelitess, Abigail the wife of Nabal. Let me read another verse here. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, bitter, every man for his sons and his daughter. But David encouraged himself in his God. Now, there's two things I want us to look at tonight. I've used the title of this message, Encouraged and Recovering. Two things I want you to look at tonight. That one, I just, come on, I'm sorry. There you go. All right. I got started and I've done that. So we just well go on, hadn't we? I forget about things sometimes. But two things I want you to look at. There in verse 6, at the last part of it, David encouraged himself in his God, the Lord his God. And the next one is down there in verse 8. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. God said, not only encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and God said, but you're going to go back and you're going to get everything that was gone, everything that was taken, everything that was taken. Now, first thing he had to deal with when he left down there at Philistines and went back to Ziklag, the first thing to deal with was the awful disappointment. They came there on the third day, and they came to the city, and they found it burned with fire. And oh my, and it says there, they wept in verse 4, they wept and wept and wept until they had no more power to weep. Well, they had reason to weep. They had reason to weep. How would you like to come to your house and find your wife, your kids, all gone, and your house burned to the ground? And that's what happened here. David and them, all these people came back and they began to weep. They didn't have no home. They didn't have no wives. They didn't have no sons. They didn't have no daughters. And so they came back and they were so disappointed. I mean, they were faced with some awful, awful circumstances. David's wives were taken. So they go to stone him because their sons and daughters were taken. And he had been with the Philistines while helping the ungodly. When he gets back, he suffers the loss of everything. The loss of everything. He's like the prodigal. He's like the prodigal that went off into the fire country. Prodigal, he went off into the fire country and he took everything he had and wasted it. And he began to be in want. And that's what David did. He went off into a fire country, and when he got back, he was in want. And there wasn't nothing he could do about it. Oh my. And I tell you what, this is David returning to the country. And I tell you what, he was greatly, it says in verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Greatly distressed. It didn't seem like he was greatly distressed when he was down in Philistines. He didn't feel like he was greatly distressed down there, but he comes back. Greatly distressed. They all got together and said, "Let's stone him. He's to blame for this. If he hadn't took us down into Philistines, the land of the Philistines with the enemies, this wouldn't have happened. Blamed him for the odds." And then it says there also that because of the soul of the people were grieved. Grieved. I tell you what, it's time to be grieved when your sons and daughters are gone. Time to be grieved when your wives are gone. And I tell you, it's time for, I don't mean to say this in the wrong way, but we got lots of lost people. Lots of lost people. I pray for folks here today, and I do it often. I go through the congregation, and there's people that's unconverted. It's obvious that they're unconverted. Young people, other people. And I pray for them, "Lord, just save them. Please save them." But then I think of my own children. My soul gets so grieved for them sometimes. And you think about God saving somebody. You know, everybody's got somebody in their family that's in absolute mess. I mean, they could not be in a worse mess than they're in. Nobody. I mean, they could not be in a worse mess. And they can't get themselves out of it. And all for us to be grieved. They were grieved, every man, for his sons and his daughters. God help us to grieve for our sons and our daughters. To grieve for those that we care about. Care for those that we love. Some of you got wives that's not converted. I know you grieve over them. God save them by your grace. But there's those of you here that you got children, you got grandchildren, and you got children here that's believing. Thank God for it. Bless God for it. God did it. God did it. But all their soul was grieved. But now listen what happens now. They came back to a great disappointment. They was going to go home. They was going to eat and drink and rest and enjoy their families, enjoy their homes. And they got down there and they didn't have them. There's nothing like going home after you've been gone for a long time and seeing everybody you know and everybody you love and go in and get hugged and kissed and wined and dined. And, you know, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
Sit down in your chair. But oh my. They couldn't do this. Their soul was grieved. Their soul was grieved. But now look here look what a work of grace did in him. God gave him faith. It says there in verse 6, again, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm going to find a message on that somewhere. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, he lost his wives, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He lost sons, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Lost daughters, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Lost cattle, lost houses, all gone. But he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And the people spoke of turning, stoning him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And I tell you what, beloved, he turns to the only one who can help him. He's the one, he's in a time of great, great, great need. Now over there in Philistines, he did not, as far as we know, he never prayed. He never asked for leave, but here, beloved, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What caused him to encourage himself in the Lord his God? Well, he knew that there was nobody else in this world that could do anything for him. There wasn't an army that could do it. David couldn't do it. His mighty men couldn't do it. So what does he do? He turns to the only one who can help him in this time of need. David said in Psalm 134, verse 1, he said, "Oh, out of the depths I cried unto thee." Out of the depths. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. He's just like he did when he faced Goliath. He said, "He come in the name of the Lord." And David said this, he says, "What time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you." So God worked a work of grace in his heart, put faith back in his heart, caused that faith to be active again. And that's what he said in all. How many times did he say that, "Lord, cleanse me and I shall be cleansed. Turn me and I shall be turned. Save me and I shall be saved." And then look what it says down in verse 8. Well, in verse 7, David said to Abimelech of Abithar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, "I pray here, bring me hither the ephod." And that's what God told the kings to do. Now, all the kings didn't do it, but he did. And Abithar brought there the ephod to David. Now, I want you to notice this. He had to go to the priest. The priest didn't come to him. He had to go to the priest. This is the man that he got to deal with God through. This is the man who offers the sacrifices. This is the man that deals with God and comes back and deals with man. This is the priest. He had to go to the priest. And he had to inquire of the Lord by the priest. And I'll tell you what, David inquired of the Lord, saying. And he asked, I'm sure that Abithar was the one that he asked the Lord to say this. "And shall I pursue after this troop, these people that came and destroyed these Amalekites that came?" And he said, answered him, said, "Pursue. For thou shall surely overtake him, and without fail, there's no danger of failure. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He will without fail recover everything." Now I want you to look over here in 1 Samuel 28 and verse 6. Look what it says here. The difference. I want you to see the difference here. Saul saw the host of the Philistines greatly afraid, and his heart trembled, greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, it said over here, David inquired of the Lord. But he went to the priest to do it. "Bring hither the ephod." And the Lord answered him not. Not by dreams, by Urim, nor by prophets. But when David inquired of the Lord, when David went the way that God told him to, when David induced the priest and had the priest to come and had the ephod, the thing that God set up in order for him to inquire of, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him. And the Lord answered him, said, "Oh my." Said, "Yep, you go after them. You're going to overtake them. And without fail." You know, when God, it wasn't David's ability that was going to guarantee that he was going to recover all. It wasn't David's wisdom. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't David's power. It wasn't David's ability. It was God that said without fail. And then look what a promise he made to him. Pursue. Pursue. There in verse 8. "And you will recover all." Now this word, this precious word that comes from the mouth of God himself, that sets the heart at rest, it sets the heart at peace. Now there have been no changes in David's circumstances. Cattle's still gone. Wives still gone. Sons and daughters still gone. Nothing had changed. Still, cattle was gone. Sons were gone. Wives were gone. Houses were gone. Everything was gone. No changes in his circumstances. But what happened? What happened? God spoke and said, without fail. Huh? You know, our Lord said, be of good cheer. In the world, you shall have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. That's just a fact of the matter. It's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. This is tribulation. But God, our Lord Jesus Christ said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. And why did his heart find peace? Why was he encouraged here? Because God had spoken. Our Lord Jesus, how many times did he tell his disciples, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Huh? And then he'd say, how many times did he say, be of good cheer. It is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. It's when Paul was on that ship and they was taking him to Rome. And that ship, you know, got in this great storm, and for 14 days, 14 days, they didn't see a star, they didn't see a sun, they didn't, 14 days they was in an awful storm. And finally, you know, they got over in this, over close to Malta. What's Malta now? And they got in there, and all those fellas, you know, they thought, we're all going to die, we're all going to drown. Let's, he said, start throwing, you know, get, throw the prisoners overboard first. Paul stood up, called everybody around, said, sirs, said, God spoke to me tonight. And you know what he told me? He said that we're going to lose this ship, but not one soul on it is going to be lost. And you know what he said? Be of good cheer. I believe God, as it shall be as God said to me, because I believe God. You know, faith gives a person courage where there's nothing but fear. When you got fear and anxieties and you're worried about something, you encourage yourself in God, you go to His Word, you go to His promises, and the next thing you know, that fear will turn into faith, and that faith will give you courage to deal with what you have to deal with. I've seen it happen too many times. And so he had a promise of assurance. You're not going to fail, David. Not because you don't have the ability to fail. You've already failed. Not because you're wise or strong or powerful, but because I said. Yeah. I said. One of the most blessed verses in the Bible, Hebrews 13:5, where it said, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. For I'll never, five times it says, never forsake you. When God says something once is enough. But if he says it five times, you believe it's going to happen? Oh, I'll never forsake them. And boy, where there's faith, there's courage. And then look what happened. Look what providential, what happened to them providentially. Down here in verse 10 and 11. But David pursued, then 400 men. And then down verse 11, look what happened. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat and drink, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he hadn't eaten no bread or drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. So this fellow, here they going along, and they found this young man, out in the middle of the field. And oh my, they happened upon this. It's like that handful of purpose where Ruth just happened to come upon a handful of purpose. And look what it says now. David said in verse 13, "To whom belongest thou? Where you come from?" And he said, "I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick." God promised David that he's going to recover everything. But how in the world is it going to be done? Huh? Who are the Amalekites? He don't know where they are. How are they going to find the Amalekites? So they found this young man because he is sick. His master was heartless. Heartless. Left him to die by the side of the road. Didn't leave him a bottle of water. Didn't leave him anything to eat. Just left him by the side of the road. It's a heartless man. Just throwed him out the side of the road and left him. He said, "I was sick and my master left me." He's talking about a cruel man. And I'll tell you what, our master, our father Adam, left us sick, dead, diseased, and everything else that was wrong with us. And our David came by the side and he found us. And he fed us. And he encouraged us. "Where you come from?" "I had a master. He's a bad man." David. Oh my. But God's promise is going to be fulfilled because he uses means. He uses means. And God used this young man here as a means for David to be used. And I want you to notice something else before I get on down here. That here's this man, this young man, sitting there. He's almost dead. And they find him. How's come he's there? How's come he's in the shape he is? How's come David found him? How's come David revived him? How come David saved him? How come David met all of his needs? How come David was interested in who he was? How come David's interested in where he come from? Our master, him, one time they said, "Lord, where do you live?" He said, "Come see. You want to know where I'm at? Come see. You want to know where I abide? Come see." Andrew went and saw it. He said, sat with the master for a while, run back to Simon Peter and said, "I found him whom the scripture says is the Messiah." And don't you know how encouraged this young man was when David started feeding him? David started giving gold, giving some water, giving some food. And then the scripture said his spirit revived in him. He come back to life. "My master left me." That's all a wicked master will do. And Darrell told me about a message Tim James preached on "Cut Him Loose." We listened to that yesterday afternoon. And I'm telling you what, you go home and get it. Tim James preaches, the title of it is "Cut Him Loose." He preaches out of Deuteronomy. And he preaches about a bad master and a man who escaped his bad master. And I tell you what, it was wonderful, wasn't it? That encouraged me. I laughed and I cried, boof! What a blessing it was. But you listen to that. What a blessing. But oh, listen, here's this young man, despised, rejected, hated by his master, thrown away like you throw away something that's trash. But the thing that God chooses, God chose this man and put him in David's way. And God chose us and put it in our heavenly David's way. So that when our master came by like he did the woman at the well, we're just exactly where we're supposed to be, and our master's exactly where he's going to be. And that's what happened here. And the things that God chooses, like this young man here, despised and rejected. And I'll tell you what, that's the world, that's the way they do. And the person that, you know, the foolish to the world is what God chooses. The weakness of the world is what God chooses. What God chooses. And our heavenly David is not afraid and not ashamed to pick up the sick, to go where the lame is, go to those that's been cast away, those who are dead, those who are dying. And then, beloved, he not only does that, but he nourishes them, and he feeds them, and he takes them, and he cares for them, and he encourages them. And then he uses them like David used this young man. Look what David said to this young man down. Look what this young man said down verse 15. And God will use a man like he did this young man for David. Canst thou bring me down to this company? Can you take me where these fellows are that you know? You know, you was with them when they came into Ziklag. And you know what he said? He asked for two things. He said, swear unto me by God, capital G. He knew that David's God was the only God. That thou will neither kill me. I don't want you to kill me. And the second thing I ask of you, don't get me back to my master. Don't give me back to that mean, hard man. Don't give me back to my master. And beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ saves us and takes us, he ain't fixing to give us back to that old hard taskmaster, that old mean master. He ain't going to do it. Lord, don't tell me, no, I don't want to go back. You know, oh no, I'm glad that David, you know, this man was so thrilled that David found him. He said, please don't send me back to my master. Don't do that. Please don't do that. And then look on, not only that, but we have a perfect and complete victory. Look down here in verse 16. And I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, look what these fellows was doing now. They were spread abroad upon all the earth. It's all scattered out. They was eating and drinking and dancing. That's all the world would be thinking about. Let's eat, let's drink, and let's dance. And I tell you what, and because of all the great, they said, boy, look at all we've got here. Man, look at all the money and all the clothes and all the people. And then why they kept all these people alive, I was reading today that the reason they kept all these people alive, they could sell them as slaves. Trade them off like they did Joseph, you know. They sold him as a slave. That's why they took them all alive. They could sell them as slaves. Get money for them. And oh boy, they had all this great spoil, and they taken out of the land of Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight that evening until the evening of the next day. And not a man escaped except 400 young men which rode upon camels. And look what it says in verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives. Now I want you to notice this here. And there was nothing lacking to them. Nothing too small, nothing too great. No spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Oh, he recovered all. God was faithful to his word. He went down there in the Lord's name and he recovered all. He got his wives, he got everybody's children, he got everybody's money, he got everything, all their everything that was taken out of their homes. He got it back. Let me ask you, did our Lord Jesus Christ recover all? Did he recover all? When he recovered us, did he recover all? Is there any part of us that he didn't recover us? Did he not recover us from all our sin? Did he not recover us from the law that demanded justice, that master that we say, please don't send me back over there? Did he not recover us from the hand of Satan? Did he not recover us from all that we lost in our father Adam? We lost life. He brought life. We lost righteousness. He brought righteousness. We were disobedient. He became our obedience. And I tell you, Christ recovered us from everything that was against us. He left nothing. Nothing. You know Psalm 69 and 4 says this, that He restored that which He took not away. Christ did not take nothing from the human race. He didn't take... Adam lost everything for us. Satan took everything. The justice and law had everything. Our sin destroyed us. But our Lord Jesus Christ came and restored. We lost our acceptance from God. He restored it. We lost life. He restored it. We was blind. He restored our sight. We was deaf. He gave us hearing. We were lepers. He cleansed us. We were lost and He found us. We were sinners from the top of our head to the sole of our foot, and He recovered the whole soul and the whole man. Amen. He got us lock, stock, and barrel for what that's worth. Who got the best end of that one? Huh? We did. What did He get? Us. What did David get when he got that Egyptian? He got somebody that would love him and follow him and worship him and be thankful all the days of his life for what David done for. And our Lord Jesus Christ, it took him 3 days to get over there. But our Lord Jesus' journey was short. He came into this life and lived just about 33 years. His journey was short. And while he was here, it was a severe journey. He was despised and rejected and hated without a cause. But beloved, when he went to that blessed cross, his victory there was perfect. His victory there was complete. His victory there honored God like nothing in this universe has ever done. Huh? The Scripture says that the Lord laid health upon one who is mighty. Huh? Our Lord Jesus Christ is mighty in compassion. Mighty in patience. Mighty in wisdom. Mighty in grace. Mighty in love. Mighty in meekness. Mighty in power. Oh, mighty in His dying. Mighty in His rising again from the dead. Mighty to forgive. Mighty to save. And oh, mighty to destroy death. Mighty to open the gates of glory for us to go in. Mighty to recover everyone that was given to Him. And I tell you, not only did He recover it, but He's able to keep what He recovered. Not only is He able to keep it, but He's going to guard it and let nobody come close to getting it. And then let me close with this. Let me close with this. Back over down in verse 26. Look at this blessed gift of grace now. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil. That means, you know, all the treasure that he got back. He got back a lot of treasure. Great bunch of spoil. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Now our Lord Jesus Christ spoiled all of our enemies. Spoil means that he stripped them of all ability. But David took all his wealth, and in the margin it says, Behold, a blessing for you. He got it all back and a heap sight more. And you know what? That's where our Lord Jesus Christ did. He has the riches of grace and riches of glory. And he recovered all, and now he turns around and gives blessings to all of his friends. And he gives us blessings, don't he? Here's your present. Here's your blessing. Here's some grace. Boaz says, listen, throw her out a handful on purpose. So when she comes up here, she'll find this great big handful of barley and let her pick it up. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ said, here's your handful on purpose. Here's your handful of grace. Here's your handful of mercy. Here's your handful of love. Here's your handful of strength. Here's your handful of comfort. Here's your handful of consolation. Here's your handful of light when you're in your darkness. Oh, he's got handfuls and he gives it out. He don't give out to you. I'm going to give you this. You know. He gives us. Boy, you know how big his hand is? He gives you enough that you can't hold it all sometimes, can you? You can't hold it all. You say, Lord, I thank you for what you gave me, but boy, I can't eat no more. Can't eat no more. And boy, that's what he does. He fills us with his fullness. Bless his name. Our Father, the precious blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for letting us meet here tonight. Thank you for your blessed word. Father, meet the needs of every heart, every soul represented here tonight. And our Father, I pray for my children and these people's children, my grandchildren, these people's grandchildren. Pray for their wives as I pray for my wife, for her blessings, for her strength, for her encouragement, for her comfort, as they pray for their wives to be saved by the grace of God. Lord, we pray for Bruce and Sandy, Bruce and Joe, Bill and Dorothy, those who are weak and frail. Great, great trials. Great heaviness of heart. God bless them. Lord, strengthen them. Be their courage, be their comfort, be their strength. Be their help, be their hope. Let them hide under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty. And do it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, there's nothing better than turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, stop.